Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie, suddenly the world has turned, and now there's this great profusion of flowers. We've had warm weather up in the 70s, and the magnolias are blooming, and the daffodils, and the tulips, and the crocuses, and the wild ginger, and all of it, this great profusion of flowers, this extravagance of beauty in our midst. We who were brought up to make do with little, what do we do now when we have way too much? We should be dancing in the streets. We should be throwing flowers at each other. We just were not brought up to make a show of ourselves. That's all. So we sit and look at it, and we take deep breaths. We're suspicious of people who go overboard. It's just who we are. We're northern people. Every year, winter makes serious attempts to kill us, and this this is not lost on us. So we view with suspicion people that came from us, like the Burger Boy. The Burger Boy played rock and roll tuba. He was one of the best rock and roll electric tuba players anywhere, and he came from us. He liked to play tuba in the marching band, and he put flower petals in the horn, and when he blew good and loud, they flew out. It just was extravagant. We tried to look the other way. There he was. His parents were embarrassed. They couldn't believe that he was their real son. Because, you know, it does happen. You have to make love at exactly the right time. God has all the souls in a chute up in heaven. And you have to be there right at the right moment to get the one who's intended for you. And God does have a sense of humor. We know this. And sometimes he likes to mix things up. And so he gives you somebody else's kid. And this seemed to be the case with the Burger Boy. He went away and he joined a band called the Brass Monkeys. And they had some big hits. And they came back to Lake Wobegon to make a video. And they enlisted 800 Wobegonians to put on the red and the white and the blue caps and form a living flag there on Main Street with the tops of their heads, the stars and the stripes they formed. And there were four rockets and these four members of the band playing, and the rockets went up with a big whoosh and they blew flower petals, white flower petals, out of the tails, and there were flower petals everywhere, and everybody was thrilled by this, except moments later when they started to itch themselves. In order to make all these petals white, they had treated them with a chemical which is not supposed to come in contact with the human skin, and nobody had thought about this, and everybody's scratching everywhere, and the more you scratch, the worse it gets, and they never forgave that boy. He just went away. He went away. People stayed indoors mostly for the next 2 weeks so that they could scratch with impunity. And he just never came back. He got out of music and he became a school counselor. And he wrote a book called Only You Can Become You, which, whatever that means, we have no idea. No, people who are extravagant draw attention to themselves in Lake Wobegon. And we're very dubious about that. The Dickmeyers, Earl and Ruby Dickmeyer, used to live out on a farm, and there was a big sign at the road going into the farm, and it said, "World's largest pile of burlap bags." We call them gunnies up there, gunny sacks, but burlap bags. And it was, I guess it was. I mean, who keeps track of these things? I don't know. I mean, Earl just hated to throw things away, and so he saved these burlap bags, and he got a pretty good pile of them, and then other people brought their bags over and added them to it in this big old pole barn that he didn't use, and pretty soon it was 10 feet high, and then he got interested in making it bigger, and it became an obsession, and he grew it, and it got to be 40 feet high, and it was pushing the roof of the pole barn up, and people came to see it. It got its own website, and people came to believe that the weight of this pile of burlap bags created such heat at the base that it was a glowing coal. You could see it at night. It was a glowing bluish coal. And they believed it created a gas called phlogiston, P-H-L-O-G-I-S-T-O-N. And they believed that this was beneficial for people who had prostate problems. And so there were men, old men, who came, and they brought camp chairs, and they would reach a shovel in, way in there, and get out some charred material, and they'd put it on their camp chair, and they would sit on it. Usually they were dressed, sometimes not, but it was an embarrassment in our town. It was nothing we cared to be known for, and everybody was very thankful when finally the whole thing just caught fire and it burned to pieces. But they already were working, the Dickmeyers, on the world's largest ball of baggies. Where they got this idea, I don't know, but they must have started small, and already they were building it when the burlap bag pile was there. And when they showed it to people, it was 4 feet in diameter, all baggies glued together. And they had collection boxes in public schools for miles around. Recycle your baggies. And kids did. And they went, picked them up every week, and they brought them, and they worked on this thing. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Ruby Dickmeyer said that when the sun struck the ball of baggies, it was like a crystal ball. And there were interesting rays and shapes and shadows in there. And her sister had come, and she had read the future looking at the ball of baggies. And she could not tell anybody what she learned, because it would just terrify you if she told you. Well, this is the same sister who saw a vision of the Blessed Virgin many years ago down in the gravel pit, and the Virgin spoke to her. And so pilgrims came, and they made an altar there in the gravel pit, and they put candles on a wheelbarrow and so on, and they were praying and saying the rosary, and drew more and more people. And finally the bishop had to put an end to it, and he told her to stop talking about this, and he demanded that she tell him what the Virgin had told her. And she didn't want to, but finally she did. The Virgin had told her, only you can prevent forest fires. So we figure that this world's largest ball of baggies, when it does become the world's largest ball, is going to become a shrine of some kind. And that sister is going to be involved with, and they're going to put up a sign, and strange people are going to come to town. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you try to be bigger than who you are. No, we don't go for that in our town. We want our children to learn to get along and to mingle with others and to merge and to be good in groups. That's what we want. And not to stand out. It's dangerous. Dangerous to stand out. And don't I know it right now? I mean, here I am. What am I talking about? No, Maureen, the church secretary down at the Lutheran church, she has had big ideas about being a singer, about being a star. Ever since she was young, she was in every talent show in town, and she sang better than anybody else, and nobody else wanted to sing after her. And people kept telling her how good she was. You're as good as Julie London. You are. You're as good as Peggy King. No, of course you're. Jody James. You're better than she is. No. So she got this idea that she was. She sang "You'll Never Walk Alone." That was her big number. When you walk through the night, hold your head up high. Through the dark, I should say. Either one, and that was her big number. She really did something with that song. She went off to Concordia College to study music, but of course, in a Lutheran college, they don't groom their singers to become big stars. They groom them to blend with other people, and so she did, and she was dissatisfied with that. And she dropped out after a couple of years, and she went off to live in Chicago, where she would have a better chance of being discovered. And she went there to live with her sister and sister's husband, who was in television. And Maureen got some work in Chicago. She worked industrial shows, and she worked supermarket openings, and she opened for other singers in clubs, and she sang at a lot of weddings. She sang at many, many weddings. Always she sang "You'll Never Walk Alone" at weddings. And she waited for her big chance, and she waited for it to come, and it didn't come, and she waited. And then she was shocked when the newspaper called and said they were going to give her a community service award for having sung at more weddings than anybody else. She had sung at 2,000 weddings. She had sung "You'll Never Walk Alone" 2,000 times. And this was a national record, so far as anybody knew. She was horrified. And she left Chicago, and she came to Lake Wobegon, and she found this part-time job as a church secretary, part-time, and she works full-time. I mean, everybody knows that. $15,000 a year. And she was so ticked off when Pastor Liz got a raise this last week, and she did not. She, Maureen, who mans the place, you know, and somebody calls and their dad's in the hospital for a colon operation, what do you do? I mean, you have to go. You have to help. Somebody wants to know where to bring the potato salad, you know, for the picnic. You got to wait and help them out, and people have all sorts of questions, and she's busy all the time. She never gets recognized for what she does. It just grinds her butt the way she is taken for granted. She was at this baptism the other Sunday morning before the church service, and they were baptizing this little boy whose name was Wally, spelled W-A-L-L-Y-E. Can you baptize a child whose name is misspelled? She was wondering about that, but wasn't her place to say anything. The child screamed nonstop from beginning and protesting, and there she was, and then came the church service. She's expected to attend. She's not paid for that, but she's there, and she sits up in the choir balcony. Pastor Liz was preaching, and she was preaching on the book of Job, and she's preaching about Job, who is plagued and suffering boils, and his family had died, and he was in great distress, and his friends came and visited him, Zophar and Bildad and the other guy, what was his name, Eliphaz, and they came to comfort him with their theology, and they were so smug that God could not bear to listen to their smug answers to Job's honest grief. Pastor Liz said that God would rather honest skepticism, honest disbelief to easy piety. God is not worshipped in platitudes. We don't need to find answers. We just need to find God, that's all. And she paused, amen, and she paused to let this sink in. And Tibby Marklin, the organist up in the loft, thought this was the end of the sermon. And she had been working on a crossword puzzle, and she panicked, and she dropped her pencil, and she reached down to get it, and she lost her balance, and she stepped on a pedal, and it sounded like a hippopotamus. A hippopotamus snoring, and three of the altos laughed out loud, those horrible whinnying laughs that you laugh when you're under a lot of pressure not to. And Maureen got the hiccups, and they were big hiccups, and it sounded like somebody dropping a fork on the floor. And she got up in her high heels with the cleats, and she walked the length of the choir loft, click, 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 and everybody could hear it all through the church. She walked, click, 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 down the stairs and out the door into the entry hall, click, 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 click. And as she walked, she could hear that song. It was the tempo of her big number. She could hear it all around her. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown, everybody. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. She walked alone all down the block. She walked into the Chatterbox Cafe. She thought, I'm going to go back to Chicago. I'm going to go back there. I'm going to make a video. I'm going to make a video down walking down Michigan Avenue. My brother-in-law is going to do it. I'm going to be walking down Michigan Avenue and singing, You'll Never Walk Alone, and people will fall in behind me. And I'll walk into the woods towards this flowering tree, and the wind is blowing in my face, and it's blowing flower blossoms all over me. It'll be so beautiful. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.